This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, actually, and I actually have it written down as Monday. Something went wrong. Today is Tuesday, September 6th, and it's a little after 11 a.m. in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Njuri, as I am your host for today, as we have an open line Tuesday. Today, that means that you can call in and give your opinion on what is trending in the news and also what is trending on social media. And if you like, you can always call and engage me to perhaps discuss the topics I have and I am interested in talking about today. Today, actually, I am talking from a point of frustration. Not a point of frustration saying that I am fed up and I want to give up, but the things that happened that Bahamians allowed to slide. And I want to talk about that. Things from the past, things that is current, that our leaders seem to not have dealt with it, or they, for lack of better words, took advantage of us. They took us for fool, just dismissed us because we didn't care to push the issue. So one or two of these things I wanted to talk about is our immigration problem that has been successive. Years and years we've been dealing with such, right? And I personally put that squarely at the feet of our leaders. They have concluded that they're not going to do anything about it, right? As simple as, I remember there was an outcry when the former Charles de Affairs of Haiti to the Bahamas said that perhaps there's a third of our population here, a third of Haitian descent and Haitian population here in the Bahamas. And of course, people got up in arms about it, right? Even to the point where he had to be recalled because his statement said his statement had no truth in it. But the point being, there is a large number of Haitian migrants in the Bahamas. I don't know what the number is. I know we're doing a census right now, right? I know that there is a large population of undocumented people here in the Bahamas from that particular country. But this problem has been in existence for a while, right? And I understand the rigmarole, international relations, how to police this thing retarding how we respond. But there are laws on our books that we can deal with this situation. We know where the illegal, I'll try to use a better word, undocumented immigrants are. We know that a number of them are in shanty towns squatting on land, right? And I'm trying to say, why? Why hasn't our government to say, hey, enough of this? We're not allowing any undocumented persons to take advantage of our system. Be it is, if you are undocumented in any way, you cannot get access to the hospital. Cannot get access to education. You cannot get access to national insurance and so on. And that might be considered harsh. You know, say, why, what you mean? You're going to starve these people? You're going to make these people frustrated in terms of living? The point is we need to find ways to police the system. And if these people, who are undocumented people who are here, not legally, can find themselves uncomfortable, they'll say, man, any other country I go into besides the Bahamas, because surviving there is hard. But at this present time, they get access. And see, it's not their fault, because I understand what poor people does. But they get access to land, right? They're able to farm to the point where they had persons who were workers on the farm, and the farmers, the Bahamian farmers, gave up their farm, and they continued to survive on the land. They work there still. I have a problem with that. Another issue I have a problem with, you know, that was just a preamble, because I have a number of things I'm frustrated with, and I think that Bahamians did not do their duty of care, their responsibility of challenging the government, is when BTC was sold, right? And I'm frustrated that
a former leader can come back to the Bahamian people and address the Bahamian people like he's some savior, some god, right? When he made an announcement that Bahamians need not apply to buy BTC, our own entity, right? He should never have a space to speak in the Bahamas again. That's how I look at it. Never, never, right? How to the point where he frustrated the system, right? This particular person, right? That if you attempted to breach the contract, the penalties would have broke the entire country. Like, who does that to their own people? To create loopholes and caveats in a contract that made it impossible for a new coming government to say, hey, we ain't for this administration ain't for that, right? We go in a different headway. We are going to go back and negotiate with those people on who we have this contractual agreement with and buy it back. It made it impossible. Yet, we entertain them to have them come on the radio and on the TV to speak to us again. No, he shouldn't be allowed to speak to us again. Never to address us, you know? So I'm frustrated with that. That's stuff like that, right? I'm also frustrated that BPL, that was BTC just now, and now we're talking about BPL. BPL still have bunker C. We have sponsors of political parties. I ain't got no names because I don't know them. No, I just speak it on my head. Sponsors of the political parties who now, in my opinion, manipulates the system. Me, I think that's, I know it's true, right? That they are, we facilitate the use of bunker C in order for them to make money. That's how I look at it, right? They now sell the government back energy. And I said, but the government is in the business of creating energy. How can we be buying energy from this entity? Right? These special interests, Bahamian or not, I am concerned, especially when we're supposed to be moving away from this bunker C thing. And every time we talk about going to better ways of creating energy, you know, these particular special interest people say, no, don't forget us now. You know, we bring in these things and we sponsor you all. Something is wrong, right? And I said, this is why I am frustrated. And I'm not sure if other Bahamians are frustrated enough to point these things out and say, you? No. I don't care how much money you donate for education. I don't care how much free house or whatever it is. No. What y'all doing to us ain't right. Y'all can't speak to us no more. There's another one I have an issue with, right? We had a referendum about gambling, right? And then they call it ain't no gambling referendum. It's just an opinion poll. And this person who was in charge won't still speak to us. And I said, no, you shouldn't be allowed to talk to the Bahamian people no more in life because of what you have done to us. The betrayal of what you have done to us. And I don't mind it. I understood the opinion poll and I understand the money that we are making from it. But I see the fallout. I see the fallout what gambling is doing to the Bahamas. Right? I see that now people are being called, what do they call it? They're called philanthropists now. You know, before they were called running numbers, illegal entities now. But then now they call philanthropists. Where there are people in the inner city who are victims of what they are doing now are selling themselves just to be able to get access to that money, to get their fix to buy numbers. You know, I want to know, are they doing enough to help the Bahamas? I see the money they have, man. I mean, I'm grateful. I can beg for money too. You know, it's just real money they make it. But I see the fallout, right? And I want to know that, how do we allow these leaders, these people, to come and talk to us? We don't see or smell the smell that's emanating out of their mouth to say, no. What you're doing, what you're saying is foul, and I won't hear nothing. There's nothing you can say to me that I can listen to. And I try to say, what is it about us Bahamians? You know, certain things We shouldn't allow certain people to talk again. But I see I already have a caller on the line who wants to engage me, I guess wants to bring up a topic. Today's numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And I am frustrated. I am frustrated that we allow certain things to happen to us. We allow people who have offended Bahamians in general to speak to our good ears. And I say, man, I ain't listening to you all no more, man. Y'all ain't my friends. Y'all ain't no friends to the Bahamas. Y'all are enemy of the state. And this is where I'm at. I say, I ain't frustrated. I want to know if you frustrated today. What things happened in the past where you ain't, we ain't get the answers from. We ain't get the answers back. And the people who offended us, you know, still have the gall to speak to us in our decent ears. But go ahead, caller. Producer, put that caller through. Welcome to Guardian.
Good morning to what?
Good morning to you, man.
Yeah, what I'd like to say, right, is that I believe that that more than a third of the Bahamas are made up of Bahamians of Haitian heritage.
I have no problem with that.
Right. Not. I'm not talking about the undocumented and the ones, you understand me. I'm talking about ones of these people are Bahamians, but
yes,
they are of Haitian heritage, right? And I also would like to say that there are more... There are more Bahamians of Turks Island heritage than there are Turks Islanders in Turks and Caicos.
I ain't know one Turks Islander at all. I don't know none. I don't know where you's be hanging, but I just don't know none.
Me? I'm a Turks Islander. Both of my friends were born in Turks Island.
You make the first one I know.
As he got, but as we actually had, but now instead we were all born in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
So we you understand what I'm saying? And then there are more in Turks and Caicos. You have so many Bahamians in the Turks and Caicos right now that they, you know, born in the Bahamas, but parents are from Turks and Caicos or grandparents, right?
Mm-hmm.
As well as, you know, with that number, them number people, you see, I'm glad that you brought up that point, right? But I feel that our issue in the Bahamas, right, there's no love lost for the immigrant in my behalf, you understand me? But my issue is that in this Bahamas, you know, like all over the world, there are three ways that government gets revenue. Three
mm-hmm.
major ways that they get 70% of their revenue. That's either from VAT,
mm-hmm.
right? Income tax,
mm-hmm.
and national insurance. You understand me? And they get and like almost like 30% of that is from income tax, right? But here in the Bahamas, we don't have that income tax. We don't have it. We choose to do the custom duties that automatically drive up the price of goods in the country. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So what we in this country need to do is deal with that issue so our government can have monies, you understand me, to deal with the issues, to deal with the services that the people that don't have need the government to do for them. We need to address this issue and stop being distracted by the merits of other issues that are important, but we seem not to want to discuss that. We have international organizations that are telling our government from time to data. Hello?
I'm here, man.
That these are the things that we need to do. We need some... We need our tax reform, and we refuse to do it, you see. And it's all because of the y'all leaders and even the people in the media and the people that's in that class, the class of Bahamians that don't want to pay tax. So it's not an issue for them. Thank you.
I hear you. And I see you. Thank you very much, Colin. And I see you mentioned VAT, right? I'm vexed at VAT too. And like that, I need to be vexed at the persons them who brought VAT. And now mind you, I understand that at this present time, even though VAT is regressive, it's the most efficient way our government has been collecting money. And we have made millions of dollars to initiate different programs. But this is my frustration and why the leaders who implemented it and who continues to run the Bahamas, I say we need to put them in check. How is it that I pay VAT on duty? Now, what I understand is with value-added taxes, tax on things that is being produced in the Bahamas, manufacturing, right? And I ain't no tax expert or VAT expert, right? But if I import a car, right, you put duty custom duties on the car I import because it wasn't made here, right? But these people who claim they appreciate Bahamians not just put the duty on it, right, because it wasn't made here. They then add VAT on the duty and on the price of the equipment. Something is wrong with that. And we, Bahamians, are not seemingly vexed enough to cry foul. Because these leaders, I mean, even the current administration, because they haven't corrected it, right? And the previous administration and those who brought it to us, and I call them monsters at this present time, the monsters who brought this into this to us to punish us with, and they punish us with, they whipping us up with, right? We are not saying, hey, bad. What you're doing here is bad and we won't tolerate it. And that's why I say we need to become frustrated. Certain things that people have done to us in the past, we allowing them to continue to beat us with it. And we need to speak out. I see you have another caller here. Put the caller there, True, there. Caller.
Hey, Mr. Nuri.
How you doing today?
I'm doing fine, sir. I'd like to make a little contribution to the cause today.
Yeah, man, go ahead.
Instead of depriving the Haitian nationals of services in the country, maybe we should charge them.
Even that is something that we should at least consider, right? Now, mind you, everyone who is in the country should get free access to education, right? But surely, if you come here and you're not Bahamian or not a resident, there should be at least a fee. It might be a nominal fee. It don't have to be expensive. But the idea is, whilst you are a guest here, there should be a distinction. This is for Bahamians because they are entitled to these things. And these is for any guests who are staying in the Bahamas, and they would have to pay. Something needs to be done.
Well, I'll tell you what they did in Hong Kong, okay? Mainline Chinese used to go to Hong Kong for maternity care. And so they charged the price $5,000 for a case or you don't get it done. So you put up signs in the language and at the hospitals, at the schools and so forth, so they know what to expect. And they have to comply with the rules. And then you could give them some kind of status because once you have inclusion, then people buy into what you have to offer and they think of the country as being theirs also. That's one way of solving the problem.
Man, I commend you, Colin. I appreciate that. And I hope that leaders who are listening would at least consider such, right? Because what is happening now, they're frustrating Bahamians. They're frustrating grassroots people to have them feel as they're second-class citizens in their own home, right?
Yeah, you want me to tell you something else, too?
Go ahead, man.
You know this big lie they tell you that they increase the taxes or we do not tax you?
Mm-hmm.
That's inevitable, man. You got to get taxed because that's the only way they make money and so forth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's best to go to the people and say, look here, we have a 25-year plan. We need to pay off something by a certain time. We want to achieve something by a certain time. We have to increase your taxes to this level so that we can achieve this. And then after that, it goes back to its previous level or whatever, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because once you see that there's something genuine
and
concrete happening with your money, you feel comfortable, that kind of thing. But when you just see, feel, hear, smell what's happening, then there's a problem.
And, Carla, I appreciate your contribution. And I would answer that to saying that what is happening to us is purposely done. It's purposely done because they don't have any respect for Bahamians. And this is why we need to become frustrated. And this is why I'm voicing my frustration today, that this is being purposely done to us, and we need Bahamians to come out and cry foul. Let them realize that your political party does not care about you, and what you need to do is cry foul and say, this we're no longer going to tolerate. But I see you have another caller there. Go ahead, caller. This is Guardian Radio AM.
Yeah, blessed morning, Mr. Nuri.
Blessed morning to you.
Enough respect for you bringing this conversation, all right, brother? Enough respect.
Thank you very much.
Firstly, a little bit of sarcasm here. I'm trying to push for Shantytown to be opened up just east of Lyford Quay, by where just, and it'll be just south of where the city market was, right, or it's still there, right? I want to open up a couple of Shantytowns out west, you see? All right? And then maybe, just maybe, right, they would realize that, all right, me and Gardner from the same area, I'm from St. Barnabas. Ricardo always pushing the social issue, so maybe I should just join instead of just staying on the scientific realm. They're lying just so much, right? You ask some very serious questions. From Ping going straight back, right? These people have been taking the Bahamian people for sheep.
For goon. That's what
a
they take it
on. A nation of sheep will inherit the government of wolves. And I said, if 50,000 people do not go in Parliament Square, then nothing will happen. I think, who was the prime minister that said the Bahamians needed to apply for the sale of BTK?
I ain't calling no names, but he's going, ha, 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 when
yeah, but anyhow, but Mr. Newey, the caller that called before me, he said nothing new, you know. We should have to be calling. I mean, the collective is more intelligent than the individuals, right? We should have to be calling and giving ideas on how to impede illegal immigration. Number one, they could just go door to door all hours of the night and just knock and ask for documentation. But it doesn't have to be, this is what they want. They can actually find ways to tip this out. So we see the social and economical repercussions, right, in the school, the healthcare systems, et cetera, but they still turn in a blind eye. I born in a Goa, but, you know, I live out east, just like everybody else, but I'm in the inner city. I'm seeing Bahamian families, homesteads are being superseded. I've seen strangers up and down, Haitian Bahamians and raw Haitians. Now, I don't hate them. I go and spend money with them, and I have some of them are my friends, and I know them. So I don't want to hear this xenophobic BS. They are superseding us in the inner city. So what that means is their numbers are increasing. They're becoming more emboldened. You know, it doesn't matter who owns the business. We have to integrate some of them. But the numerology itself leaves little to be desired, Mr. Newey. There's too much of them. It's just plain and simple. And they're taking advantage of the situation. So one of the other measures that they can put in place is harboring illegals, renting to them.
But that's a law. I remember under one of a PLP administration, I'm almost certain, with Fred Mitchell, Minister of Immigration at the time, it was made illegal to rent to a person who was undocumented.
He made it legal?
Illegal.
Yeah, but Fred is a bright guy, you know. But, you know, the thing is, if it's on the books, then why are we, you know, Mr. Newey, it's sickening. My niece just came by from school, said she's sweetened didn't have electricity for 2 weeks now.
For 2 weeks. Every day they out school at 12 o'clock.
Yeah, so, you know, Mr. Newey, you know what's going on. I'm so angry, I could explode. It's just the way it is. I don't know what to do. Haiti has reached a state of learned helplessness. The area that Newby George is talking about. It seems to me if they have reached a state of learned helplessness, which is the result of operant conditioning. So they believe they can't improve their conditions, and so they run. As much people as they have, they can't gather a body around themselves, man, and stop trying to... They sink in this country, man. I don't care what people say, and I don't care how they see it. People who live in their ivory towers, drinking champagne, that's their business. But I'm trying to get a couple of shanty towns to open up or close as likely as possible, man, so they can look at them on the way home. Give thanks. And I know the police and all the rich people, they know how they treat the rich people when they do crimes and they send their cats with little drugs here and there. They know what they do, you know. Everybody under this money, you know. And everybody worshiping the devil. God help us all.
Okay, thanks very much, Ricardo. I have a text here. Great show as usual. Illegal immigration cannot stop because our lust for cheap labor. I have no problem with cheap labor, no. And we need cheap labor, but there needs to be policing, right? I'm not even saying that all of the immigrants need to leave because we definitely need the labor. But there needs to be a clear policing of our border, policing of our environment, and it doesn't seem that to be happening. It's like it's open season for everything. Right, I cannot see how there are companies, right, who supply cheap labor, especially at night, right, and they have all immigrant staff, right. Something is wrong with that. I need to know where they're getting these work permits from, right. I call that corruption. You could go to some of these big corporations and thing, and you can see that they have. Private entities hiring immigrant staff. I am concerned about that. Another text says, great show as usual. People could only do to you what you allow them to do. And this is why I'm frustrated. You know, I believe our government is allowing these things to happen because basic policing should be able to regulate these things. But I see another caller there. So producer, patch the next caller through. How you doing, caller?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm always good. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. It's a beautiful day here today. However, mm-hmm. you know, with the illegal immigration. The gentleman had called just before me. He was talking about persons renting to illegals, and we knowing that that is against the law. However, if you look at it, illegals don't rent from regular people. They rent from other illegals or other immigrants.
I disagree, you know, because most of these shanty towns are on private land.
But the illegals are renting from other Haitians who are there, which they are never going to say that these persons were. I had a neighbor at one point who had papers, who my neighbor rent her house to. They in turn rent the rooms in the house out to other Haitian families that were illegal, and she and her husband stayed someplace else and collected the rent. They doubled the rent on the illegal, so they could make double the money. And when time come for I guess immigration to come around, they were nowhere to be seen. So they disappear and hide. I think somebody's tipping them off too, you know, because it might biggest thing with the illegals is the tourism industry, the straw market, the taxis, the buses. These are things that should be preserved for Bahamians to do. They're not cheap laborers. They are just persons who, I guess, prefer like the Chinese. They only hire Haitians. You understand me? I may be pronouncing it wrong, but you understand my point.
I understand your point.
You know, and then with the referendum that you was talking about earlier, you were saying, what else is there? How about Bamzi? We never got an answer to Bamzi when it was asked of Bamzi after the 2017 general election. The answer to the question was, I'm no longer in power. Elections come to wipe the slate. So don't ask me anything. I remember that. Specifically watching the House of Assembly when Mr. Menes asked Mr. Davis. Mr. Davis' response was, that's no longer my concern. Elections came to come to wipe the slate. So we never got an answer about Bamzi. So that's another thing, too, with them and this referendum. We're never going to get it together with them or anybody else for that matter, because referendums to us is PLP and FNM, or PLP against FNM. That's how we see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I appreciate your call, and I empathize with some of the things you said, right? And you know what also vexed me, where I find that nobody seems to be speaking out, is this Removable Property Act thing. Right? Now, mind you, I understand that government needs to make money. But you know the price of land in Harbor Island now? No Bahamian could afford it. You know, they have created a playground for foreigners. Right? And instead of our government trying to say, hey, let's protect certain land for Bahamians, right? They seem to let anything happen. And now we are unable to afford anything. There's no such thing as low-cost homes anymore, besides things being expensive. But my point is, the person who's responsible for that shouldn't be able to speak no more. I just would have cut them off. Every time you speak someplace, you just go, boo. No, boo. I don't listen to you no more. Former prime minister or not, I ain't listening to you no more, because your contribution to nationhood has now considered a moot type of response. I just ain't listening no more, right? Because I'm frustrated. I believe the pain that I am going through is so momentous that whatever contribution you did, consider null and void. That's how it is. You know, that's how I'm looking at it. And I find that Bahamians seems not to be concerned. They're not vexed. They allow these people to still speak. Come and say, oh, I believe I did this and I'm the best prime minister. My record. No, boss. Your record does no longer values and speak no more. You ain't our friend. You ain't our friend no more. And this is what I vex at, right? And the same people. Oh, let's see. Oh, Lord, I just get a headache. Just start thinking of that, right? Because I saw Brian McCartney in the news today, and my whole head started hurting. I said, this boy still speaking? Anyway, I digress. Let me stay focused. Because I don't know how we tolerate people to speak in the media anymore. Anyway, I have a caller. I have a caller on the line. Caller, go ahead. Producer, put them through.
Morning, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man.
Good. Listen to me. My bad piece is that you have certain jobs reserved for Bahamians only, correct?
Yeah.
Now, could you please tell me, I don't know when the last time you went downtown.
Mm-hmm.
They have like a saloon open where they do nails and, what is it called, manicure and pedicure.
Man, that's BMT, man. It's past that all the time.
Yeah, but that is a job reserved for Bahamians.
Yeah, but they ain't serving Bahamians, though. That's a front. That's an empty store. You go there any day. Not a guest inside there.
Yeah, but I know some foreigners own. I manage that though.
They own it and manage it. They have no Bahamian staff.
Yeah, but my point now. So how did they get licensed to even open it up?
And see, gotta blame the leaders because I see them downtown. You know, they all selling jewelry and man, all the downtown just look like Jamaica and Cayman and all of them look the same. But my point is something sinister is happening. Something as sinister is happening, and we just watching these things happening to us. Because you are right, there are certain jobs. Let me give you one before you go, Gollum. Right? I am almost certain that you cannot open a liquor store on a Sunday. I mean, I might be wrong, but I'm almost certain that you cannot open a liquor store. More certain, I believe that selling retail liquor is reserved for Bahamians. Right?
Yes.
But there are certain businesses, if you have a restaurant, you could sell wine and whatever beer once you sell food. Mm-hmm. But there's a particular ethnic group. I ain't got no names, right?
If you go there on
a Sunday, they stop selling food altogether. They don't even sell food. There's a liquor store. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead.
They're the first set to start that.
And I want you to know. And I said, the police got to see it, right? Because I see it. Right? Because they have like 101 stores all over the Bahamas, right? That's why I say frustrated, man, because someone in charge is watching these people take advantage of us. Like, how is it you could get a liquor license to sell retail liquor, right, to compete against Bahamians, then you can go and sell liquor on a Sunday when you're supposed to sell no liquor on a Sunday? Because
exactly.
You're a restaurant. I say, something is wrong. And I say,
yeah.
It can't be just me who frustrated.
Yeah, and another one of my pet peeves. Is it true that wholesale and retail are reserved for Bahamians only?
I know definitely retail. You know,
okay,
I find it strange.
Okay, now watch this now. You familiar with Bahamas Food Service?
Yeah, I'm familiar with it, but I'm calling people name, you know. I'm familiar with that story, but I can't be calling people name.
But that same entity,
mm-hmm.
You realize that is no longer that name anymore?
Yes, I realize. It's a foreign company owned that.
And you know that is the international food, one of the largest food companies in the world.
Lord have mercy. I thought that was to make things cheaper for Bahamians.
No. And that is owned by a foreigner. So one name was being removed and the other name was being replaced.
Yeah, thank you very much, caller. See why I frustrated and I find it that strange that no one else seemed to be voicing these things? I concern. Another one reason why I can go to the caller right now is they had a leader who shut down the entire country talking about COVID. And we're trying to explain to, hey, bring your data. Explain to us why we suffering, why I can't go to my neighbor house, why I getting walk up to go to the pump. And he's still speaking. How can you speak? No, boss, you can't speak to us no more. You ain't our friend. You are not allowed to speak to the Bahamian people no more. Because it's what you've done. It was a travesty. It's an insult, you know? And I'm saying, how are we allowing these people to still address us? You're supposed to say, boo, every time they speak. Shut them down. But something must be wrong with us. But I see another caller there. Go ahead, producer Patrick, your caller through.
Mr. Newey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm just voicing frustrations, man.
Yeah. Everything's been done to us deliberately. You know, there's a story my father said. Maybe people have heard it. That he used to pass the porch. The old man sitting on the porch with the dog screaming, ow, ow, every day. He said, one day he asked the old man, why the dog's been screaming for years now? The old man said, he's sitting on the nail. My father says, why don't you take him off the nail? He says, no. Whenever he gets tired of the pain, he just get up. The point is that we keep allowing these things and in violation. I think you mentioned something about providing education and health care. And I know people and the advocates always use this argument that we have to provide education and we have to provide health care. The key word in those international agreements says access to. It didn't say free. It says access to. So it says you should have access to education. That means you shouldn't prevent them from going to a private school or whatever else it is, or even charge a fee for the school. Just not prevent them by saying deny. denying them. You should not deny them so they can be charged. Now, my biggest concern about school is the Bahamas participation by the Minister of Education and the Minister of Social Services in human trafficking and child exploitation. What do I mean by that? Every child, according to law, is to be in the custody of a parent or legal guardian, not just a guardian, legal guardian. And to register a child in school, you must present yourself as the parent or the legal guardian. That's just some random name. Meaning that every child in the Bahamas at any time, the parent or legal guardian should be able to present legal government identification to have a child registered in school. Something we do not practice. So we often have to ask ourselves, how do individuals who could come and register multiple children to school within the need of mother or father to any of the children they register, or individuals are able to register people in school without presenting legal identification that is on the record, that is a part of the school record. So the same thing for access to medical care. It didn't say free medical care. And language is very important, and it's something that is often used on us and been adopted to ourselves. A good example of the language is the Constitution. I think for 50 years now, or 49 years, we've been saying that women and men have a right to pass citizenship to their children. Mr. Nui, do you know that is not in the Constitution?
We know. That's why we had a referendum to put it in the Constitution. But we do know that government is allowed to make laws.
Yes, but no, I don't want to go for the laws. I want to go to the lie of the constitutional referendum. And I just want to show you the way language is very important. In the Constitution, it says a child born to, or we say that a child born to a single woman in the United States or out of the country is allowed to pass citizenship to their child. They say in the Bahamas, a married man is allowed to transfer citizenship to his child, and these variations. And I say to you, Mr. Newby, you go and look in the Constitution. That is not true. I challenge the QC, including one that sits in the office of the Prime Minister, one that sits in the Attorney General, to call or send a press release saying it's not true. Let's correct the thought. When you go to the Constitution, it gives you the requirements. This is law. It gives you the requirements to be registered as a citizen, whether what we may call at birth. It doesn't say C. Allen Johnson, because he's married to Mary, gave his citizenship to his son. It says if you meet these qualifications, one happens to be a father who is a Bahamian, then you are entitled to be registered.
And see, Alan, what I'll do is I can go and investigate that.
Investigate that. But let's go back to the immigration issue. Let's solve this immigration issue. Give me 60 more seconds, 90 seconds.
60 more seconds, sir.
Right. The immigration law is very simple, you know. All we have to do is digitize. We spend hundreds of millions so far digitizing the database or even a national ID. And so when a person comes in and registers for a work permit, they must show proof of a rental agreement as to where they're going to live for the time they will have this work permit is in existence. Okay, so you can't get a work permit unless you can show someplace a rental, a place that you will be renting that meets the requirements of the Housing Act. When a person goes to work anywhere in the Bahamas, they should provide the job site. The job should be able to contact and verify that the person is authorized to work. And then what also happened is that the government should exercise that anyone who anonymously tips off somebody who's working illegally, regardless they're even cutting somebody's lawn, you get 10% or 20% off the penalty, which is $10,000. And so that means that anytime somebody sees somebody working, they pick up the phone call and call and say, see, Alan Jones is working, even out of his work permit. My work permit may say farming. I might see him washing dishes. It gives the reward system. But all this is digitization. But what happens is somebody's making an excess of $1.5 billion a year of our GDP by basically deflating the payment within our people by having workforce compete against illegals and other individuals who are exploited for the sake of their benefit. And until we decide we no longer want it like this, we are in the 21st century, and the tens of millions of dollars we're spending on digitization and contests and stuff need not be wasted, then we will continue to get what we've been getting until we no longer own what we own.
Thank you very much, C. Allen. I appreciate your contribution. And I think you're absolutely right. How is it that you're able to get a work permit and you don't have no place to live? It's impossible. You cannot get a work permit and live in the shanty town. That's called corruption because you say you have to have a place. And then to get a work permit, there needs to be a sponsorship by your employer. How can an employer not ensure that you live in some place? Something is wrong. And I see I have a text that says, international convention says you can't deny schooling and medical care to anyone in your country. Public service, that is. And I'm not denying it, no. Just that you got to pay for it. It cannot be free. We cannot afford to give you free medical care and housing and schooling. We're just saying, hey, you got to contribute to what to the Bahamas. And that's what I'm saying. But I see another caller here. I got to speed things up to make sure everyone get a chance to speak. How you doing, caller?
Thank God for life. It's me.
Hey, how you doing, man? Blessing is you.
Okay. Good morning to your listeners and to your producer. Hey, I think we need to police our borders more and enforce the law, like police it more, enforce the law, especially when it comes down to the behemoths who are involved with this illegal trafficking and bringing people in and making a burden on the public purse. But, you know, I listen to you. Normally I just listen to you, although I don't call in that much. I just enjoy listening to you, especially when you have these open lines and you be speaking your mind. And at the end of the day, see, you sound like a Sagittarius. You say the other day, when he was missing, say he almost dead. I say, thank God you're still here. I say, now you talking like a man who's saying, you know how the old people say, don't purge or anger purge? Man, and you, everything you said, I don't know how much the people out there, the majority of us, right, thinking behemoth, I think we agree with some of the things you're saying without you even calling names. When you talk about not coming back and shouldn't even have the audacity to come to speak to us or even the media giving them the courtesy to let them talk to us, I think of people like the former Minister of Education, Jeff Lloyd, Desmond Bannister, the former Minister of Work, people like Dion Folks, who was the former Minister of Labor and stuff like that. You understand what I'm saying? So I kind of agree with you, and especially when you talk about the number man, them, I see the former government was going to tax them. But look, like the tax ain't happening no more. They're making all kind of money. And you were asked, and I know you might say, I know you're just asking the question, are we getting, not value for money, but are we getting them to contribute back to us as much as they supposed to or what was promised or agreed for? I don't think so. I don't care if it's, when Christmas comes, they could give away $2 million whatsoever. They could have lines for back to school.
We like school bags. We could contribute to getting school bags.
I wouldn't say foolish. They could do all of that. All that is good, but it's never enough. You understand? It's always room for improvement. It's always people suffering. See, I never did agree with this thing where they give their friends them these licenses to own these web shops. I agree with a national lottery so the country could benefit. These poor people, we go and not me, God forbid, I do it when I want to, but they ain't getting me like that. I mean, I have other challenges what I need to deal with, but that number thing, I like doing it, but if the government was benefiting more of the build roads, give the nurses and the doctors rate, the police officers and hospitals and things like that, more schools and deal with the teachers the right way, then I would agree with it. But this thing with the web shorts, I don't think we get and deal with it. And the politicians mix right up with it. All I want to say is, like, you sound like a Sagittarius this morning, and all I can think about when you say you're almost dead, brother, don't purge and put right where right is, yeah?
Amen. Keep up good work. Blessings. I have one more caller there. Passion Ray True. How you doing, Colin? How you doing?
I have another dog story to add to C. Allen Johnson's dog story, okay?
Yeah, make it quick.
All right. Why does the dog hold his leg up to pee? I'll answer it for you.
Go ahead.
Because he can.
Just so because he can.
So if places are disallowed, do it certain things, they won't do it. Mm.
I appreciate that. That made me
think.
Okay. Right? So I have a text here. It says, in addition to being cornered out of business opportunities, we are also faced with inheritance monopoly, where certain families who owns and holds majority of stakes in the Bahamas and have monopolized those businesses are now passing their ownership
onto their second and third generations. We just don't stand a chance. And I'm watching them, you know, especially these political families where they bring them back into politics to be senators and MPs. And then you see them have audacity to come on radio also and promoting new building projects and things. You know, I want to know why we invest. You know, generation of wealth upon wealth, right? And I started to say, I here just trying to hustle and make it. No, I trying to get one gig now that I able to pay one or two bills. And I finally said, it hard, right? If you go down Bay Street now, you see there are all kind of new ethnic groups opening stores like crazy. And you know, you don't want block the hustle because you know they hire one or two behemoths. But you say, man, this store look like a front. And I trying to say, if I could see as a front, surely our police could see as a front. Right? We seeing other ethnic group breaking the laws right in front of our face, you know, opening business, saying, no, what is this reserved for Bahamians, by the way? And we say nothing, you know? There hasn't been no protesters saying, man, we will protest for life, right? We will be in front of their stores to let them know that what you're doing, we won't allow it to happen. And, you know, and the authorities are just watching, right? Nassau is 21/7. If you on a good day, they have people who could run this entire island, you know, run this entire island. But they say they don't know where the shanty towns are. You know, you could point them out. You know, we've had politicians who say, yeah, there's 20 odd shanty towns there. We have they're so bold now. They put in chain link, make their shanty town gated communities and telling the police, you can't come inside here. The audacity, right? The audacity. Right? We have politicians who have created a monopoly to make wealth again and again, right? And they still have the nerve to come and speak to us, say, man, they honorable. No, you can't be called honorable no more because I'm sick and tired now, man, you know? And I'm trying to say, Bahamians aren't vexed, but something is wrong. Well, I have a few more minutes. How much more minutes? I have 6 more minutes. I want to talk about, you know, this... The Prime Minister, the QC, I got to remember that the Prime Minister is a QC, Queen's Counsel. He ain't no regular lawyer. I want to talk about that. But I want to mention this this point too. Before I even talk with the Prime Minister, once upon a time, it was said that a particular country was listening into all the Bahamian conversations that if you WhatsApp any kind of sexy picture, they get a copy of it and keep it on file. If you're having a conversation, a private conversation, they recording all that. All our MPs, conversation, politicians, doctors, lawyers, whatever it is, right? And you hear that and they're just gone. Not a person addressed it and say, hey, stop. I appreciate it. And we can't tell you, I mean, force you to stop. But what you're doing, we don't like no more, man. Can you please, begging you on our knees, can you please stop listening to our conversation, right? We're a sovereign nation. Your friends just don't do things like that. You don't do that to friends, right? And I said, but we don't complain about nothing. Something got to be wrong with that. But back to the QC, right? I see the Honorable Prime Minister mentioned that rape is an assault, and that he was concerned, or for lack of a better word, with the judge's ruling. Mind you, the judge already say that that's the rape of a wife was it said as assault? It says an assault or brutal or whatever it is, and that she granted a divorce. But our Prime Minister then came afterwards, right, to say that he found it curious that it didn't look as rape as an assault. And I'm trying to understand what this QC is trying to say, right? We in the middle of a debate on whether rape in a marriage is a criminal offense. And for him to come and comment and say that, no, it's not necessarily a criminal offense, but it's an assault. And you can get you can rape someone and get a divorce, but you can't rape someone and get a criminal charge. It's concerning for me, especially when he said it's not urgent for his government to address this. And then have a complete parallel talk and say that we will... his government will be making sure these violent crimes and these sexual assaults are dealt with. But see, what I'm trying to say is, you're mixing us up. You're mixing us up, particularly when you're supposed to be a QC. And I'm frustrated, man. I'm frustrated, especially when we're having serious talk and serious debate, and you're having these double talk. And I start questioning what the office of the spouse doing? Surely she should be leading this charge. Surely she should be convincing her husband and say, husband, you're a good man, but what you're saying now don't make no sense. And what I'm going to do is I can go on strike. You don't get to see none of this. Lord have mercy. Until you do right by us women in the Bahamas. This is the charge I think the office of the spouse need to do. You don't get to see none of this. Until you do right by us women in the Bahamas. Then I believe our prime minister will come to his senses and understand that this is urgent. This is urgent because I need to get access. But I enjoyed the show today, right? Tomorrow I have an interview with the Assistant Commissioner Thompson again. To conclude that, I want to ask him about what happened during the Penguin era, specifically as a West Indian. I want to talk about the airport strike because he was here during that time. And I want to talk about majority rule. So that's tomorrow's program for tomorrow. But as I conclude, as the last 2 minutes go, I'm trying to say is we as citizens of the Bahamas need to become frustrated and say we're not tolerating this bad treatment anymore. That if I am PLP and my prime minister is doing foolishness, like I said, prime minister, I plan to boo you when you come in public because you're not addressing my issue. If I'm a member of the opposition and they doing foolishness, and the former leader of the opposition won't speak after he had us held hostage for 2 whole years, and all this embarrassment of his managing the country, you boo him every time he speaks. No, we're not tolerating it anymore. If the former prime minister before them, who's laughing, you know, if he won't come and speak to us, he said, man, remember when you sell BTC? You know, we remember how you talk to us and that your dogmatic approach. If another prime minister who talk about the referendum, ain't no referendum, and I can do what I want to, despite you disagreeing, right? Tell him, no, man, you can't speak to us no more. Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio at AM with C.A. Nuri. I shall see you again tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.